man. Vier dabei nie ein, big tracht man. Alle teuren Leuven auf macht man. Von allen zu den Sirons lacht man. Rabbi, ich in Nacht man. Mit alles guten sich auf lacht man. Alle Schwierigkeiten auf schwach.
Okay, good evening and welcome to the Hipsit Podcast with me, Rabbi Simcha, and our producer, Rebbetzin Sherry Barkley.
Shalom.
Okay, Sherry, we have a very special guest joining us tonight. However, before we get to our featured guest, we have some junior guests, and we have two friends of mine. I love them. I love them like they are my own children, simply because they are my own children. So joining us on the podcast tonight, we have Orabina Weinstein. Say hello.
Hello.
And Yaakov Weinstein. Say hello.
Hello.
Yaakov, this is an audio podcast, so you don't have to...
takes after his dad.
Yeah, yeah. He likes the limelight over here. And the reason we have these two beautiful children, Sherry, on the show tonight is that they will both be going for the first time to sleepaway camp.
Whoa.
Sleepaway camp. How do you feel about that, Orabina?
Nervous and excited.
Yaakov, how do you feel about going to sleepaway camp?
Good and shine.
Good and what?
Shine.
Shine?
Okay. All right. No comment on Sleepaway Camp, the movie from the 70s.
Okay, no comment on Sleepaway Camp from the 70s.
I'm just saying, if I named a camp, I don't know if I'd name it Sleepaway Camp, but it sounds awesome.
Okay, so, but I have in my hand, Sherry, over here, two very important documents. We have, they just came in the mail today.
Okay.
The year-end report cards for both of my children who are joining us on the show
I'm
tonight.
I'm getting nervous.
We're going to go through the report cards and judge if they are eligible, Sherry, to go to sleepaway camp.
Oh, boy.
If we're not happy with the results, we're going to cancel the direct deposit. Okay. First up, we have, we'll go youngest first. We're going to start with Yaakov Weinstein. I have your report card. And for the final semester, Sherry, feel free to chime in as we go through this. We're going to rate and review.
Well, I would, but, you know, I'm remembering my parents reviewing my report cards.
Right,
it's giving me a little PTSD.
I know. When my parents would come home from teacher-parent night, I used to hide in the,
exactly.
in the cellar and cry. Okay, so we're going to begin with davening. So for davening and devotion, Yaakov scored an Aleph, which is the highest possible score. What about that, Sherry? Right? For reading, he got a base, but it's one up from the Gimel of the previous semester. In Chumash, he got a base, same as last semester. We kind of go Aleph, base, Gimel, right? That would be
A, B, C.
Rashi, you got an A. You got an A for Rashi. How are you feeling?
Good.
Okay. Next up, we got Dinim Customs. You scored an A.
Congratulations.
Okay. In homework, you got an A up from a B. So far, it's looking good, Sherry, for sleepaway camp, right? okay. In penmanship. Uh-oh.
That's a course?
Yeah. Apparently, that's a thing.
We all use computers now.
Yeah, he got a Gimel Plus.
Okay.
But you're a
child of the future.
Right. When it comes to texting, he probably would get an Aleph.
Exactly.
Okay. In focus, you got a base. In, this is honestly the next few mean the most to me.
Okay.
Okay. In manners, decorum, and orderliness, he got an Aleph.
Yes.
Are you waiting? You ready for the big one?
Yes.
In respect for teachers, Yaakov, I'm about to hug you. You got an Aleph Plus.
Amazing.
The highest possible grade when it comes to following instructions / self-control, unlike his father, you got an Aleph. Well done. In diligence in learning, you got an Aleph. In Avos Yisrael, which is love for one's fellow, you got an Aleph Plus.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations.
And in proper and appropriate speech, you got an Aleph. So he pretty much has swept the board over here, Sherry.
Sleepaway camp.
What do
you
think?
Here you go.
He's in?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to ask Sherry to read the comments from the final term.
Oh,
term
boy.
Three, if you'd like to read Yaakov's comments.
All right, you ready? Yaakov has made tremendous progress toward the end of the year. Must continue practicing his skill over the summer. Was a pleasure to have in class. Have a wonderful summer. Promoted to third grade.
There you go. And just to add.
Can I add something?
Oh, yeah. Please
All right.
Do.
I gotta say though, I'm gonna personally bump up all of your grades myself because someone on this, I'm not gonna say who, someone in the institution spelled must wrong on the report card.
It's very good that the when the teacher is unable to spell the report card. I got a feeling that may be the first viral episode that we've been looking for. Okay, just to add one more thing, Sherry, Yaakov actually won an award, an accolade, for learning the Mishnah, the oral tradition, Baal Peh, by off by heart, and he won an award, and we are so proud. I actually changed my will. And all of my assets are going to go to Yaakov. Yaakov, just tell everyone that's listening to the podcast about the award that you won and how you felt sitting on the special chair.
I felt scared because I thought I was going to fall down. And it was very good when Daddy took a video of me.
Because Yaakov got to sit in the bleachers for the special kids. Unlike the kids sat at the front, the plebeians. Okay,
all right.
Moving on to Orabina over here. Orabina, we're going to ask Sherry to read I hope it's spelt right. We're going to ask Sherry to read the final semester report over here. We have Orabina's report card. It is purple.
Okay, here we go. Orabina has been a tremendous asset to our class this year. Her bright personality and optimistic attitude had such a strong effect on our entire class.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say this word, but I'll try.
Must.
The Menschlichkeit.
Menschlichkeit?
Menschlichkeit. Yeah, the Menschlichkeit.
Mein Gott, no. Menschlichkeit.
The Menschlichkeit. I gotta go to school, clearly.
Yeah,
let's switch places. Yeah. With which Orabina treated her teachers and classmates this year is truly unmatched. Much.
Whoa.
This is word.
Must.
No, it's in Hebrew.
Oh. Orabina?
You gotta read this. I can't read this, sorry.
What's the word?
Hatzlicha.
Oh, Hatzlicha.
Oh, okay.
You're Israeli? Okay. Best wishes. Finish it up, Sherry.
Okay, best wishes for a happy and healthy summer, and Hebrew word.
Beautiful. Orabina, I am so proud of you. You and Yaakov have swept the board. Academy Award winning.
Promoted to grade
here.
Five.
We're going to ask Orabina, you have anything to say about the report card?
That's how we roll.
Ora, are you excited for the summer?
Yes.
Are you going to miss your parents?
No.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, kids, we wish you a wonderful summer. And that's it. Give me a hug. And time to go to bed. Good night.
No.
God bless. Love you. Give me a kiss. Okay. All right. There you go. How about that, Sherry?
Orabina, maybe you can teach me next year how to read the Hebrew words.
And
so you're probably better at it than I am.
Yaakov, you could teach the teacher. Okay, so we're now moving on to tonight's special guest of honor.
Right.
I've read many bios on this podcast. This is the most impressive, the most lengthy, and I'm going to butcher a lot of words.
Please don't read the...
I got the bio.
From where?
I found it somewhere. I was Insta stalking you, Googling you. So tonight we have joining us Rachel Kahn. Rachel, say hello.
Hello, gentle listeners.
Okay, Rachel, I'm reading the bio. We'll try and get through it. Okay, Okay, you're gonna be cringy. Okay.
Yeah.
TEDx poet. Woo. Rachel Kahn is a modern day mystic. Your poetry and short story collections are available. How many books do you have, Rachel?
Can I focus on, I have a new book coming out in fall. I have some books, a few books.
You got a few books.
The new book is coming out in fall on Ben Yehuda Press.
Wow.
It's called How to Bless the New Moon. It's a collection of Jewish poetry.
Okay, we're going to get there. Okay, yeah. So your work has appeared in all sorts of journals. Very impressive over here. You have two albums. This is like an audio album?
Yes.
Okay.
I had a sip of water, sorry, yes.
Okay, you can sip away. Okay, you got two albums, and you have performed poetry with very cool artists, the likes of whom, they're so cool that I don't even know who they are. at such venues as Disney Concert Hall, Broad Stage, the San Francisco Palace. This is very impressive.
Thank you.
Your work has achieved accolades and awards. Wow, look at this. Writer's Digest Short Story Awards. That happened? That's a thing?
Yeah, I wouldn't make that up and just
I would.
Plug that in.
I have.
There.
Okay, you've been commissioned.
Short Story Award, just okay, to be clear. Okay. It wasn't the short story. Right. It was a short story.
I'm going to move very with alacrity short. Because otherwise this is going to take
it's
the
enough.
Entire...
It's
no,
enough,
no, no, no,
actually.
It's not enough. It's not
it's
enough.
Really...
Okay, let's skip to the end.
Please.
Skipping three paragraphs over here.
Please.
Oh, you've got music videos. Anything you don't... I think you're trying to... I think you're clearly trying to... what's the word? I don't know. Okay. Overcompensate. So you are an overachiever. Okay. You've got music videos. You've collaborated with choreographers. You've read poetry at TEDx. And you teach. Wow. Look at this. Don't bury the lead. Why don't you? You teach poetry and fiction through the writer's program at UCLA. Want to give it
extension.
Up?
Extension. UCLA extension.
Okay.
They make me sign a contract. That's that I would say. Not at UCLA, at UCLA Extension.
What's
Writers
the UCLA
Program.
UCLA Extension?
It's like most universities, they have an extension. So adult learners, lifelong learners, and people who are actually undergraduate students or graduate students can take the class, but undergrad for credit.
Is that like saying I go to Harvard Community College? No. But
yes.
Let me ask you, Rachel, does the check say UCLA?
Extension.
Oh,
Writers
it's close,
Program.
It's close. Okay, so welcome to the HipSid podcast, Rachel Kahn.
Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be here.
Okay, so we're going to begin. First question I always ask the guests. We're going to begin with the origin stories.
Okay.
So what are the origin stories? And what led you to become such a multimedia mogul? And also, I just want to add how we first met. We met,
okay,
I believe,
please.
It was a launch party for one of your many artistic accomplishments in this very space.
Right in here, where
right
we now
in,
sit.
Right now, we're recording this from the Gallery Synagogue, and it was your birthday.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And right away, I felt like we had an instant connection and rapport.
Yes, and it was Saul Sudan who introduced us and was like, this is a match. That
made
must,
in Sudan heaven.
Yeah, that must happen.
I
and
love Saul Sudan.
Yeah, so he knew that we would
all right.
connect, enjoy each other's perspectives.
Right.
And here we are now. Amazing.
Right. Okay, so what's the origin?
I was born in San Luis Obispo, California, a very small town halfway between LA and San Francisco and very not Jewish. It's more, I mean... It's more Jewish now. There's like a Hillel there now.
Okay.
When I was growing up, it was not very Jewish.
I told you before off mic that you're maybe the most Jewish person I've ever met.
That is... Well, listen,
only
I take that as a
the
compliment.
The most Jewish person would deny their... Okay.
No, I so, take that as a great
you
compliment.
Should. And were you always a performer?
Pretty young. I started dancing. So if you really... Tell me when you want me to speed it up. If you really want origin story,
want
I'll go there.
Thing.
And when you say enough... Dayenu, we'll skip along, okay?
Okay, you got about 43 minutes.
That's
so,
a lot. We could do a lot of, we could say a lot. But anyway, so San Luis Obispo was born. Very early on, I had like a lot of ear infections as a child, so I had a very compromised hearing that wasn't caught. And so I started dancing very young. So I did start performing pretty young, but it was more because dance was like, in a way, my first language. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And when did the writing and the poetry evolve?
Much, 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 much later. I was here in New York. I live in Los Angeles now, but at the time I was living here in New York, and I was, this is great. I was at an audition. I was doing musical theater, so I had gone from dance. We just jumped a whole lifetime ahead. I started doing like Russian ballet, hardcore Russian ballet. Many, many years later, realized I would prefer to eat. Started eating and stopped doing ballet and started doing more art forms. Like, then realized, oh, I could even talk on stage. Had a little more to eat. Talked on stage. At this point, now we're in the future, the past future. I'm at an audition for Jesus Christ Superstar, the musical. I meet one of my very best friends. We're still best friends to this day. Instant friendship. We left the audition together in friend love. And lo, these many years later, we're still besties. And very early on in our friendship, she said, you know, you should do spoken word. You should write poetry. It was a completely external thing that someone else saw in me. I wasn't like a journal keeper, or I wasn't into writing poetry. And she literally nagged me for 1 year. I'm saying nag like glibly, but reminded me, encouraged me. And I was like, I'm just not interested. And after a very long time of also, you know, exemplifying for me being an artist who shared their art. She's an extraordinary singer-songwriter. And she would share her music with me. And after a year, I wrote a poem. And that's how I started writing poetry. A completely external, someone else had to see something in me that I did not see in myself.
Two things.
Sure.
Firstly, not connected. I forgot to tell the audience that we also have another guest joining us tonight, your dog Grace.
Pearl.
Oh, sorry.
Grace is such a nice, look, I go, Pearl, and she said.
Yeah, I just want to say, well, no, even when he said, when you said Grace, that's, the dog actually jumped up to disagree, and then, yeah.
Okay, so apologies to Pearl.
Pearl is here, Pearl is here in the school.
We have Pearl joining us in the podcast, and when you walked in the door with Pearl, you said to me, Rabbi Simcha, do you mind if I bring my blind dog into the synagogue? What am I going to say, Sherry?
She pulls out
the blind dog. So how did you meet?
It was way back in California. I asked you before I even got on the plane if it would be okay. I would never be such a chutzpah.
No. She's beautiful.
Thank you so much. She's,
and not only did I feel a connection with you, me and the blind dog, right?
She ran right up to you when we got here. She jumped up on him and said hello.
My flip-flop feet. Okay.
Either way.
Moving on.
She smelled something that made her welcome.
The question that I did have for you.
Yes.
That today, I think like the notion of the open mic and the, you know, your personal narrative being a currency and storytelling and podcasting and the spoken word, you know, it's very popular. Anyone and everyone can have a podcast, even me. But I think that when you started doing this, right, this is way before this was even a thing, and to get up, and I just wanted to really tell Sherry, and by extension the audience, that when you share, and I don't think I really said this in the intro, that when you share, you know, your poetry and your story, there's a strength. I'm almost uncomfortable with the intensity that you really give over. It's coming from, I believe the word would be, the Kishkas. So what was that like initially to be that vulnerable? Did you begin, you know, with that intensity and where did it come from?
I'm honored and I'm flattered. And I think it's really powerful for you as a leader to even acknowledge that as a male leader too. And what's funny is I always feel like I'm holding back. And I left something out of the story. And me even too. As I left it out, I was like, I should be telling that part, not only because it's funny and important, but it really ties into what you're saying right now. Thank you, first of all, even though it's I don't know if it's good to hear you're almost scary, but I'm taking it as a compliment that you're acknowledging some sort of power that you experience. So to me, that's a compliment.
The bravery.
Thank you.
The honesty.
And yeah,
it's a power.
Trying to be authentic.
It's very liberating.
That is a huge compliment. Thank you so much. Yeah, if I could have a wish for people, it would be that they could help. I could help them feel authentic, like that it's okay to be their authentic selves. So that's great. Thank you. So when I was doing ballet and I said the little joke, haha, and I decided I wanted to eat. It's true, but what also happened was I was at like the top of my ballet game, whatever that is, in a small town, right? In San Luis Obispo, California. So
the black swan of...
Right. It's Nutcracker, you know, that's all we're doing because it's a small town. And I'm like, you know, a junior in high school, I think. And I was like, wow, I wasn't the Sugar Plum Fairy, but I had like a solo in Waltz of the Flowers and a solo in the snow dance section. It was like really, you know. And so they filmed it. You know, someone had their video and like videotaped the show. And then you watch it. And I had like a moment of clarity, which was very uncharacteristic of myself at that time. Where I was able to see myself dancing. And I mean, I was like I said, at the top of my game, very anorexic, which is like considered a good thing in ballet, like really going for broke, but my extension is high, I'm doing my thing. And there was a goofiness to me that I could see very clearly in the video that just, it doesn't work in ballet. Part of the makeup of me, I'm many things, is kind of goofy. And so I would be like in the zone, in the flow, and it was also kind of goofy. Like I have a little bit of, and I had this clarity where I was like, this is just never going to fly. Like this ballet thing, like right. If I really trying to take it all the way, like it's going to kill me.
Right.
It could kill most people. I almost think it should be illegal, honestly, ballet in general, but I have strong feelings about it. But some people are born in a, you know, really just to do that. I'm not, I'm goofier. So it's wild to like take this whole journey of being like, wow, let me embrace my inner goofball. And then by the time I get to like writing my own words and speaking my own words and come back to a place where it's so intense for you, because I honestly often almost always feel like I'm controlling my intensity. Like I know I'm intense for people. And so I'm trying to not, you know, even like when I'm sharing poetry here, which is such a blessing. This is the third time
right. That
I'll be sharing poetry here. Thank you so much for having me.
Nothing to thank.
It's so exciting to.
But you have a command over an audience. I found it mesmerizing, hypnotizing, and it was truly something. So I think what I'm hearing
with
the goofiness, I think, and I kind of like what I, because you seem to have a self awareness of your own Michigas. And
it's very Jewy.
Feel that sense of struggle and kind of that sense of wrestling.
It's very Oshky. Like it's Oshka normative, let's be real, but it's very Oshky.
It's very Woody Allen. I don't know if I can. Am I allowed to say Woody Allen?
No.
No, he's out, right?
No, he's out.
He's gone. He's canceled. All right, Woody's out. Who would be the
literally the... any other Jew in the world okay. Who's Oshka normative?
So you were wrestling with your own
it
sense
of still
performance.
It is so, when we say this, but it is really Oshka normative. And I just want to like acknowledge that. Like really, I'm being glib about it, but like also what we... And I go, oh, that's Jewish. It's like, it is one way. Even the stereotypes are like very narrow, but like, yes.
Right.
Like I come from, I'm a typical sort of American Ashkenazi Jew. My grandfather had a kind of actually unique story in that he grew up in Germany. His family left a lot of them before to show up, not all, a lot of them were killed, but he and his mother left and he went back and fought as an American soldier.
Wow.
It was a very young, I just found out last year, and there's a lot of stuff that's just like one thread of it. Like we all have these stories, you know what I mean? So,
okay. So,
long story short, am I neurotic? Yes. Am I aware of it? Yes.
I'm making notes. Making notes over here. For the first time, Sherry, I'm making notes.
Am I neurotic? Yes.
Kind of
a dork? Yes.
Welcome to the club. Okay. Yes. So I think what I'm hearing is that the ballet was a search for precision and perfection.
Amen.
But I think through that, you've sort of embraced life's imperfection and celebrated that and been honest about being vulnerable. And I think others... It resonates. It resonates with others. What I also wanted to ask you...
And that's just one thing that led me to where I don't mean to interrupt, right. But ballet is just like right. One
but
that thing
was,
that...
I think that was like the... what's the word? That was the yellow brick road into other avenues.
I mean, there was many things. It was like a lot... Very formative is that I grew up as the only Jew, basically, in a town. I mean, I would have swastikas carved in my desk when I was little. It was like a very backwards place when I was little. It's not like that anymore. But... We went to that
that's
point.
Just
we
took
only
a turn,
went to
Shay.
That point
because
you said, how long have you been a performer? So right. I really did start at around 3 because of dance.
Were you a performer and entertainer in high school? Like you know, who was it? I think it's Mel Brooks says, if you have the last laugh, you win even when you lose.
Yeah.
So that haunted smile of Jewish humor. I mean, how do you deal as a kid with a swastika carved into the desk? I'm glad my kids went upstairs, Sherry.
I know. Well, I wouldn't have. Chas v'Shalom, I wouldn't have brought it up in front of them.
It's an unfortunate part.
It wasn't like all the time, but it was like a small town. Right. It was a backwards place. Right. Some weird stuff happened.
I'm from the north of England.
You know.
Our moments.
Yeah. Well, now I'm like lost in that thought. I'm thinking only about the swastika and the death. High school. So by high school, I was very goth, very rebellious. I would be like wearing an Ice T t-shirt that had like, you know,
Ice T the rapper?
Yeah.
Love Ice T.
With like jean shorts and like Sherry's down with that. Sherry, like Ice T? Pantyhose.
Did you have the eyeliner too?
Of course, but that's what I'm saying. I was like goth, but also really into hip hop. Like, of course, Public the black Enemy. Eyeliner. No, they were very anti-Semitic. Don't you remember?
No, I was
really.
I was living in Manchester, England.
They were very anti-Semitic.
They said
Farrakhan. Listen, they said Farrakhan's a prophet that I think you ought to listen to. That's a line from one of their raps.
I wasn't so sophisticated.
I was very nervous. I was very again. What we call, is it neurotic? Is it Ashkenazi? Right. Is it Ashkenormative? La-di-da. I was very nervous about this stuff.
What year are we talking about?
That song, that's from Bring the Noise. And that song was like, gosh, I think like 89, 90. So I don't know. But yeah. I mean, I was also really into Joy Division, you know, which was like a cool goth thing to be into until I learned what Joy Division was. It's so horrific. Right, we won't even like. We shouldn't even speak of it. But like, if people really want to know,
they can look into it.
Right, but it's like really like the most horrific thing. Right, it makes me actually
from my hometown
feel
of Manchester,
sick
England,
to talk
I know,
about.
I know,
you know? And like the fetishization of Nazism and just anti-Semitism everywhere. So it's like I can't even be like, oh yeah, Public Enemy too. I'd love to just go, haha, yeah, Public Enemy too. But I just
right.
I mean.
Right.
Farrakhan's a big problem for me.
You know.
Yeah.
It was also
completely sexist and offensive in other ways to me as a woman. It's not like, you know what I mean? So whatever. I'm just saying, in high school, this is who I was. You could picture this. An Ice T t-shirt, jean shorts, black pantyhose ripped with holes, and then some striped knee-high socks over that with some Converse. And yes, definitely black eyeliner, black lipstick, black nail polish.
Kind of describing Sherry's.
Probably a lot of us.
So you dressed that way in 2019. Okay.
Yeah, I don't dress that different now. It doesn't matter how much effort I want to put into everything, you know, like how much energy do I have that day. But I was also like, by that time I was into theater. And so I was like, we had very little sort of arts at our small town high school, but I would do like, they had one theater, which was a classroom with the wall knocked down between, it was two classrooms with the wall. So you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It makes sense, right?
Right.
Two classrooms, the wall knocked down between them to be
opened
made
up,
into a theater.
Right.
It wasn't like some la-di-da
school of the arts, is what I'm trying to say. It wasn't like,
and I would do like,
no, Pratt Institute.
They'd let me do little theater stuff. Really? I would do like, and it was kind of, I did like Lysistrata. I would do sort of controversial.
But don't you see now was that a way to overcome your anxiety and anti-Semitism and fears and being an outsider insider? You know, they say oppressed people tend to be witty.
I mean, well,
this is coming from like, the guy that was the class clown, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. No, I like talking about I think I had a sense of humor. Like my parents, thank God, are very funny.
Right.
Very cool and very funny. Like very New York. My dad grew up on the Upper East Side. My mom's from Mount Vernon. My mom is especially hilarious.
What's her name?
Lois.
Give it up to Lois.
Yeah, Lois.
Lois and?
Can. And David can.
Lois and David.
Yeah, thank God.
Lois and Clark.
Yeah, they're fun.
Right.
So, but humor was always given like
a high currency
in my home. Yeah, I was given a lot of positive reinforcement for being sassy and funny at a very young age.
Right.
I still love my parents' love and approval. There's a lot to unpack.
Is it? Yeah, there's a lot here, Sherry. I think what we're going to do is, this is going to be the first in the Rachel Khan series. Not Khan, Khan.
Is it even interesting?
I keep thinking of Star Trek. You know, Khan.
The Wrath of Khan.
Yeah, I know. It's Khan.
It doesn't really matter.
Rachel,
it's,
I want to...
Rachel,
I want to ask you is, where did the Jewy stuff come from? Because, like, your poetry and your artistry is pretty embedded in Jewish mysticism and biblical archetypes and Torah. So where did that come in to play?
Well, it was... I've always been, let's say, a seeker. It's hard. It's so pretentious. It's hard to talk about. But I've always been kind of just... it's funny. Is that why you felt like you had to be funny or you were a performer? Right. But actually, I think more was this feeling of really deeply understanding, like, a sense of exile from a very young age. Actually, more led me to... in a conscious way, anyway, the seeker stuff. Like, just what is this all? What is this life about?
So what did that look like to you?
Everything.
How did that begin?
Everything.
And where did that take you?
I was curious about tarot cards, Ouija boards, all the things, Hinduism. I mean, this as a young child, like all over the shop. You know, a lot of people, you hear this story. It's not the most unique story of many Bali Teshuva, too.
I'm self-censoring,
you know, and then
right now.
Finally,
sorry,
you know, you go, but no, you know, I was interested in everything.
Holding it back. Yeah.
I was curious.
It's a family show.
What am I saying? I'm not even saying anything.
I know.
Even.
Right.
Outrageous.
I know.
A normal thing for someone who grew up in like the secular world 100%. And was like looking for meaning.
Right.
Many Jews are drawn towards if they're disconnected from their own tradition.
So how did you get involved?
That's what I'm saying. Seeking through all these.
So where was the fellowship? Where was the fellowship? Where was the synagogue? Because you were the only Jew
in town. There was a synagogue in town. My parents were kicked out of the synagogue. They couldn't afford their dues one year.
Wow.
And we were told not to come for Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, and they were like, "That's it." That was like the
last judgment day for Lois and David.
That was the last thread for them. No, for them, really, though. That was their last thread of. Like, they were already pretty, very much like New York City intellectual, agnostic.
They couldn't afford a
generous,
ticket.
You know, they were members. They were members and they couldn't pay their dues one year.
Wow.
And they said, this is their, you know what I mean? This is the mythology of my family. I don't know what, you know what I mean? This is what happened. And then they were like, that's really, really
Sherry, by the way, have you paid your dues to the synagogue over here?
Don't try to come. What's next? I don't even know. It was sad.
Well, I was just going to say, as I, you know, inject in every single one of these podcasts in 10 seconds.
So cool.
That,
thank God.
You know, I'm also a Jew raised in a secular world, which is why I had a hard time reading the report card properly.
I feel guilty about that.
But yeah, I don't know. When I do research, I was researching like the difference between Reform and Chabad synagogues, and it was like something I read about the Chabad was a little bit more flexible than
Reform,
or there's some type of synagogue that was more flexible with the dues that it wasn't.
Chabad is definitely like welcoming.
Yeah, I'm just. I just there was an article about it. I'm probably getting it wrong.
No, I don't think you are. When you're talking about the dude,
we're flexible. Somebody once asked me in the synagogue,
come to service. They're not gonna say don't come to service. Definitely, when it comes to dudes.
Right.
So, and this was a long
time
ago.
Just to add one story. There's a very sweet gentleman. I'm not gonna say his name because he actually listens to the podcast. Who moved into the Navy Yard? He asked me. I believe it was like the second day Passover. Is there a Kiddush book for the second day Passover? I was like, let me look at the Kiddush book that doesn't even exist. And, you know, we're very informal over here.
That being said, I did donate to the Hadass Gallery fundraiser, and I will continue to every year. So
that's
what I do.
Of course.
And if I had more money, I would donate more, but I don't. So.
Oh, my gosh.
It's very grassroots. So, Rachel, I want
to
move.
We need to get to the Judaism part.
Yes,
yeah.
Let's get biblical.
So... yeah, so I was like looking in all these different places, and to be perfectly honest, at a certain point I was doing theater and I had a long commute, and there was a library that had really good audiobooks. I don't know if someone had donated like their library of mystical text audiobooks, this very small town library, or what.
Okay, it's weird.
I'm saying it was bizarre. Right. I don't know why. I was working at Pacific Conservatory for Performing Arts, doing like Oklahoma and West Side Story, and I had a long commute. And so I started listening, and one of the audiobooks was Rabbi David Aaron.
Okay.
Do you know who that is?
Israelite.
Yeah, from Israelite.
Sure.
Yeah, so it was one of it was like this series, like right. like Coach in a Box.
Old City, right?
It was yes, but I'm saying it was an audiobook series called Coach in a Box, and so it had like self-help topics, but someone had decided to do Kabbalah in a box. So I'm like, what is this Kabbalah in a box? I knew about Kabbalah. I was right. definitely interested, but I already was aware and hesitant of things I'd heard that were, you know, I don't even want to talk about stuff where pop stars and mainstream, right. like anything like that. My dad raised me particularly well to like keep things right. like that at an
charlatans
arm's length.
Charlatans.
Thank God. Right. Because I don't know keep that my nature right. would be to resist, right. but I was raised well right. in that sense. So I listened to this Rabbi David Aaron audiobook, and it really just like blew my mind open. Wow. It was so powerful.
He's
it's
a great
really
teacher.
Good teachings, yeah. and he does things in a very practical right. way. And so that was really like a big opening. There wasn't one moment, you right. know, that was one of the big openings. Right. And then because of him, I started reading R.E.A. Kaplan,
right?
You know, and I started wow. getting like, yeah, and I was
I'm
like,
hearing
wow.
echoes of my own journey over here. Okay,
I'm not surprised at all right. because like the same things yeah. resonate for us.
That book, Jewish Meditation, was
right.
That was a game changer for me
because
I was like, wow, and this is in Judaism?
Exactly.
This is in my own backyard?
For so many people, right. I think this is, they don't even know right. what is available
what
to them.
What he writes
yeah,
about the Shema was
already, you know.
Right, transformative to me.
Shema is, right. I mean, you could sit with that for 10 years, right. a lifetime, and not even
right. So that did you end up going to Jerusalem?
I did. I knew, many, many, many years it. Later. That's like, that was one opening. There was like many, many, many right. openings, you know. The final one, right. like before I went and learned, I went to Israel for like 3 months. That was, and I was like, I really want to immerse myself and learn. I was feeling drawn to some of the more, we say the mystical things, but like, you know, even Hasidut, not necessarily Kabbalah, you know, right. all different things. Right. And I was just like, I need to get foundational. Right. I need to get my basics better. And still, my knowledge is so checkered. You know, right. it's just like there's some things that are so basic that anybody would know that I don't know. I never had a bat mitzvah. I never had anything, you know, so I don't just like really fundamental. I'm sure you understand, Cherry. Yeah. And then there's other things that are sort of, you know, esoteric that because of where my interests lay. So right. even though I've tried to get my foundation down, it's still, you know, a little my own unique path. Okay. So I went to Israel and that I went and learned with Rabbi David Aaron. I went to seminary for a while wow. I was already like a poet. I was a spoken word artist right. and I had been very blocked. I was completely unable to write, completely dealing with terrible social anxiety and performance anxiety. Like even when I would try to go do readings, it was just, I was basically ground to a halt. I wasn't writing, really performing or doing anything. And I knew I wanted to go to Israel and really just be a person, like not go as Rachel the poet and like do some gigs, but just like go as Rachel the human. I like needed to do that and just learn and whatever. And I didn't know what, but I knew I was looking for some teachers. And like as soon as I went there and I got to seminary, which I knew it wasn't quite right for me, but I knew I wanted to get these basics. And they were like, you need to be learning with Rebbetzin Yudis Golshevsky, like multiple people told me, and Sarah Yudit Schneider, who's an amazing, they're both amazing. I don't know if you're familiar with either of them, but Rebbetzin Golshevsky is a exquisite teacher of Breslov or Hasidut, like an unbelievable, sorry. And then Sarah Yudit Schneider is a Lurianic Kabbalah teacher. And she's still, they're two of my main teachers, but Sarah Yudit Schneider and I like, I'm very lucky to learn with her. And she's a very generous teacher to me. So still, yes. Sorry, go ahead, Sherry. Sorry.
Oh no, I was listening to all that. I was going to say, I'm jealous. You know, you got to go as Rachel the person. I went to Israel as Sherry the person, but I just ended up, you know, working at a call center in Tel Aviv.
Well, I was there very short
Sherry
time.
Sherry has a great story about the
How
call center,
How long were you there,
the
though? See? Is yeah. it, if I was there longer, I mean, I can't, some of the right. things I did there. I also taught dance, like I teach embodiment, like embodiment work. I don't know how deep into this we get, but you know, I like do a lot of learning also.
This is going to be a series. So we're dealing with surface.
Fine.
And
whatever you want to know, I'll
tell
you.
Then we're going to peel back the layers.
So anything you
want. What I want to do We don't have that much time.
I don't hear about the call center.
There's a great story. A great story.
I can't remember what episode it was, right? But it was an English call
I believe
center.
it was with Rachel. Rachel Deutsch was. You shared an amazing story. Very funny. I'll send it to you. Bissell Illegal. Okay.
Okay.
So,
fine.
Yeah. Okay. Question.
Anything.
When did you start to merge the Yiddishkeit with the artistry?
So I'm in Israel.
Right.
And it happened to be Elul.
You're blocked. You told me your writer's block.
I'm in Israel.
Right.
It's wild that this is all coming out this way. It happens to be Elul.
Right.
I'm doing Israelite at this time. I've met Sarah Schneider. It all comes
You're
up in the
old
story.
City?
In the old city.
I was in Aisha Torah, by the way.
Amazing. We probably bumped into each other. This was pretty recent. This was like 2012. This was very recent because I'd already been like professional, like poet, like doing all these things, teaching at UCLA.
Okay.
And then Extension writer's program,
right,
where I'm an instructor, not a professor or teacher. I sign a contract
saying
I will not misrepresent myself.
It's on the check. Right.
Yes. So
2012.
I'm in the old city going to a Shabbat dinner at Israelite. And maybe you know him. Do you know Rabbi Matzel Wolf?
Sounds very familiar.
So he's in Israel, and he was who I had first connected with because he was co-creating Israelite with Rabbi Aaron, and we were walking up the stairs for Shabbat.
Oh, I love it.
And he said, Rachel, I want you to do a poem tonight.
Wow.
Because he knew who I was. He was like the only person who knew who I was just a little tiny bit.
Right.
Same generation. He was from Chico, California, Baal Teshuvah.
Right.
Another small town, similar, and I, my instant answer when he said that, we're walking up the stairs, like everyone's around us. Rabbi Aaron's like right there, and I said no, I didn't even no, and then I was like, you know, Bot Cole style,
right?
Like in my head, like really,
wow.
who are you even to think you're in a temple overlooking the Kotel? It's Shabbos, and a rabbi. A kind rabbi who really made a lot happen to get you here to learn just asked you to do a poem and you just said no. It makes me almost cry. It makes me emotional to think about. And I said, wait, yes, I would love to do a poem.
Wow.
And what an honor anyway. I mean, mamash, that's a ridiculous honor.
Okay.
And so I did a poem that night and it was a big opening. It's funny you mentioned, it's like an older Bible, like, whatever. But right when Shabbat, I remember right when Shabbat went out, you know how it is. Everyone whips out their cell phones.
Right.
You know, it's like, Abdallah, boom, everyone's cell phone's out. And so I'm just
They keep them
that,
under the table. Okay.
Yeah, it's like, boom, 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 boom. And I got an email from UCLA Extension Writers Program, where I'm an instructor, asking if I would be a host and perform my poetry at TEDx.
Wow.
UCLA.
Wow.
Like, clearly related to whatever I allowed to move in that moment. And then I still wasn't writing, but I was like, wow, look at this thing happening. And I knew I had to have actually a piece for that and just what is going on. And then I'm learning about Elul. I brought up before it was Elul with my beloved teacher, Sarah D. Schneider. And she's explained that Elul, you know, the king is in the field. These are when we can make our own personal prayers to the infinite. And really made clear to me that I had kind of a responsibility to do that. If I'm a poet, it's kind of on me that it would be really smart to every year in Elul write a specific clear. Everyone should do it. Write a specific clear prayer, she was saying.
Wow.
And I went to the Kotel. I was sitting at the Kotel, like, praying, just like, please, I am, like, move something in me. Like, please, like, help me. Like, just move this.
Wow.
And then a poem came through, and that was when I decided to merge my Judaism and my poetry.
Wow. So an epiphany is a trite word, but it feels to me that Rishi Groner likes, one of my favorite saying is, it's an evolution, not a revolution. And I feel like that was part of the evolution.
Yeah, there's
and,
so many parts
what
to
I'd
the
like
story.
To
there's
do,
not one little.
This is going to be a series, but Rachel can.
Yes.
I know another rabbi. He's also Baal Teshuvah. He can have days of kindness. This rabbi would like to ask you to he doesn't quite overlook the Kosel and Jerusalem. He overlooks his own Jerusalem, because I do believe that we have a responsibility to make where we are Yerushalayim. So he overlooks Pratt Institute, though I have to tell you that I've been to many places, and to stand in a painter's studio or an architect studio at 4 o'clock in the morning and feel that creativity and that energy, I feel like I'm in my own temple. I really do. So I'd like to ask you on the HipSit podcast, as Sherry is my witness, if you would honor us with a poem.
It would be my great honor. Oh. And thank you for asking me.
Put her on the spot there. take your time.
It's a hard yes from me. Yes, I'm okay. Greatly honored. I don't feel on the spot. I feel super, like, so grateful to you for asking me to be on this podcast, for inviting me into this sacred space. And so I'm going to do How to Bless the New Moon. Oh. It's, why wouldn't I? We're going to have this circle tonight.
Tonight we have our event.
Right.
Okay.
So, and it's also, if people are interested, it will be in the new book with the same title. How to Bless the New Moon.
Beautiful. We're going to end with the new book. We'll do the poem. Sherry, I'm passing you the mic because this is the first time you hear a Rachel Kahn poem. It's like the first time you're going to watch Ghostbusters or Overboard. You know that feeling of incredible joy and connection. So I'm passing you the mic. And after the poem, you're going to give some reflections.
Oh my goodness gracious!
When he says that, if you listen to the word, I don't have a lot to say because he puts me on the spot like that. But listen, anyway, just let's hear the poem.
It's a poem. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Haven't, like, done any open heart surgery yet. Okay. Saved any lives. And everything that I have to share is really just inspired by the Torah that is, like, all around us. How to bless the new moon. Back before the journey began, before traversing the massive desert expanse, before the sea had even split, way, way back in Egypt, the first collective gift transmission was given. With transcendental gentleness, the indwelling, ever-present, all that is infinite, lifted your chin, directed your attention toward the heavens, said, "Let the moon's cyclic and fluid beauty hew you to the rhythm of time's unending spiral. Use this precise present as your very beginning. Sanctify every recursive moment of holiness over objects. Follow the mystery hidden in shadow. Seek beneath the surface. Let others bask in the surety of sunlight. You were born of the moonlight tribe. Let others be about answers. You be about questions. Live in the liminal. Listen for the subtle metal scrape. These are keys unlocking each restraint. Listen for the whisper. This is the giving over of the calling forth of the new moon to you. Listen, for this is your liberation."
Nice. That was beautiful. I love the line about holiness over objects. That was really great.
Thank you. It's just the Torah. It's just the Torah. I like can't. That's no credit. I'm just reporting the news.
I love it when you say poems.
Thank you so much. You're
so beautiful. One can only imagine.
That's our Judaism. That's what we do. This is the life spiral that is Judaism. We say, "I'm literally just talking Torah here."
Just like you got the TEDx email. One can only imagine.
The cycle of life that we will be hewn to the moons. Wow. waxing and waning in the seasons, and we move into this season and we are going through this energetic yet again, even though it manifests a different way. And every year here comes Pesach, and every year here comes Av, and every year here comes Rosh Hashanah, and every, you know.
Right, right. Life is lived forward and understood backwards. And I really find that, you know, our past infuses our history, and yeah, I love the festivals. I love the flow of Jewish time, Jewish entity. Okay, so just to bring things full circle, because we have an event with you, starring
so
you in the very, very near future.
I'm so excited.
Tonight.
Yes.
So I'd like to ask, what's the new book? Where's the new book? And if you could tell our listeners how to purchase you, how to download you,
yes,
how to find you, how to swipe you, how to love you, and how to like you, and how to follow you.
This is all, yes, yes, thank you.
ABC.
I want all of these things.
Right.
I want to be liked and loved and followed and all of it. So thank
Make
you.
Make a few shackles along the way. It helps.
Whatever more, I just want the love.
It helps.
Listen, so, okay.
Dog food.
How to bless the new moon. Yeah. It's coming out in the fall on Ben Yehuda Press, a wonderful independent Jewish press I'm very proud to represent.
Beautiful.
And if you're interested, you can please hit me up, rachelkahn.com, R-A-C-H-E-L-K-A-N as in Nancy, N as in Nancy.com, realizeparadise.com, all the places, the Instagram, the Facebook, the Twitter, all the stuff, you know. Rachel Kahn, K-A-N-N.
Love it.
Find me. We'll chat.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Okay.
Yeah.
Any closing remarks, Sherry? By the way, completely off topic, I did notice in your bio, Rachel,
yeah,
that you're also one of the many, many things you do is DJing.
Yes.
And I did.
Yes,
I did. I noticed. Are we going there, Sherry?
Yeah, let's go.
I noticed.
I'm not as close,
I noticed,
Sherry.
As we close out the podcast, that on Sherry's Insta story, you will be DJing.
What?
On the ferry, the New York ferry.
That's
right?
So cool.
Sherry, explain it for the listeners.
Please.
This is a classy Sherry story.
On the turntables, on the ferry.
You know what? I just can't believe we went this whole entire podcast without mentioning that you are also a DJ. So there would definitely be...
That term is used very loosely. I'm an Ableton Live aficionado. I am not like a turntable maven like you
Doesn't
are.
Doesn't matter. That's amazing. Yes, I will be DJing on the MTA Ferry.
So cool.
But that's, you know, again...
When is that? If
well, no, because well, it's podcast time.
It'll be after
yeah,
the fact.
Yeah, we're on podcast time. It's tomorrow.
So cool.
And this podcast was recorded today, tonight. 7 o'clock.
By the time this podcast goes
yes. You'll have missed it. She may well, be booked again for a new ferry gig.
Is that free with the ferry?
Yeah, yeah, it is. Yeah,
wait,
you just pay to get on the ferry.
This is the coolest thing I've ever heard.
It's going to be the East River line.
Is that the Staten Island? I don't know.
There's a ferry that goes past the East River, so you get on in the financial district, and I think it takes you, you know, to Midtown and back.
So cool.
We'll
what
talk
kind
about
of music
it another
are you
time.
Wait,
we'll talk about it another
really?
Time. This is not about me.
Can you just tell me really quick what kind of music you
I
like to do?
I'm definitely gonna play some Brian Ferry and some Pablo Cruz. Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, like, really, is it like
no,
deep,
it's, no,
soulful
it's,
house?
Yeah,
like, four
no,
on the
it's
floor?
Gonna be like yacht rock and stuff yeah, like that.
Yacht
it's,
rock.
Yeah, it's for the yes. public. You know,
this is the coolest thing.
It's not as hip. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. But I'm playing very accessible music for everyone.
Sherry, you're so cool.
So are you. Meeting of the minds here.
Yeah.
This is incredible. I wish I, what is the official event being called tonight here?
Tonight is a new moon union.
Right.
New moon union.
Celebrating the upcoming Hebrew month of Tammuz,
yep,
which is I guess especially in the Lubavitch the Chabad tradition, we're very close to Gimel Tammuz.
Yeah.
It's a very powerful time. It's a lot of powerful energies. So I want to wrap things up because Rachel has got to have a little bit of a downtime before tonight's event.
We're gonna show my film, The Quickening. I'm so excited, so I'll get to relax
about the
during
film.
That too. Yeah,
okay.
It's very Purim-y.
I remember watching Highlander. The it's, two, The Quickening.
We go but, all the way. I know. So I didn't know about this.
Yes.
I don't know enough about pop culture. Somebody, I just met a very cool lady.
There can be only one.
They were like, you know, is it the quickening like Highlander? Or they like, they like, what did they like, suck someone's history and soul out of them or
chop
something?
Chop the head off with a thing.
Right, and then they, I was like,
don't
no.
Don't chop anyone's head off tonight.
I didn't know about that. Yes. It's too late now. Like, I've already submitted to film festivals and stuff. Well, is beautiful. This a cool reference? Are you?
Well, Highlander
you might as well say
better.
Yes, because it's done.
It is cool.
I hope it, people don't think of that.
No. It's beautiful.
I hope they don't think of Highlander unless Highlander's cool.
It's cool. It's very cool. Okay, so to wrap things up, we want to thank our producer, Sherry B. Good luck on the ferry tomorrow night. Just to remind
Sherry
you.
Sherry on the ferry.
Sherry on the ferry. To remind you, Sherry, that I think the Sabbath starts around 8:17. So I expect you to unplug the turntables and swim back to Midtown in time for the Sabbath.
You're worried about me saying things that aren't safe on the show, and then you literally have this DJ
safe space like- over here. By the way, I did get a text this week that said that Sherry is the Robin to my Howard. I literally got a text from one of the listeners. I want to end off by thanking Rachel. Rachel Kahn, thank you so much.
Great pleasure
all the way
and honor
from LA to be with us tonight. I want to thank my two beautiful children who are at home safely tucked up in bed. Rabina and Yaakov. Wish them Mazel Tov on getting stellar report cards.
Really stellar.
Unlike
Mazel
their father.
Tov. Yeah, you want, really.
You
want
to hear something funny, by the way, Sherry and Rachel?
Yeah.
So when I was in high school, one of my rabbis literally wrote under like the Hebrew topic, he wrote, not Simon's subject, I'm afraid.
Oh. And little did he know,
it's still not my... Okay. And finally, we want to thank the blind, beautiful... Dog.
Pearl.
Panina.
Baruch Hashem.
Yeah. Panina joining us. And
Well behaved, you must admit.
She's very, very well behaved.
Very
and she's very special, much like her mother. Okay.
Mazel Tov, we can't get into this, but again, she's my sister. My parents adopted her, so I'm not her mother. It's just like a little weird, but she's my sister.
Okay. Beautiful.
Not my child.
All right. Okay. So I think that about wraps it up.
Congratulations on your children.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm good.
I got two and Yaakov Mordechai. Yep. I mean, what did they say? Menschlichkeit? Her menschlichkeit is like beyond. Like they broke the mold, basically. So that she's like the kindest person. Like they both got the highest marks in kindness.
That's honestly,
wow.
That is all I look for.
They
don't have to be top of the class, but they have to be, excel in kindness and Avis Yisrael and.
I doubt I can.
I think we should do an episode, Sherry, where we all bring out our report cards. And not Simon's subject, I'm afraid. Okay, so I'd like to thank Rachel for coming on the show. Want to thank our producer. Want to thank Pearl. Want to thank the kids. And finally, this is me, Rabbi Simcha, saying good night, Laila Tov.
Hipsid, the podcast, is recorded and produced by Sherry Barkley and Rabbi Simcha. Please like and subscribe on iTunes today. Thank you.